This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. Consumer confidence and a booming economy have inspired people to spend, in fact, to the tune of about $600 billion during this past holiday season alone. But whether consumers spent during 2017 or just during the holidays, eventually reality is going to set in, and it'll be time to pay the piper and work down debt. Joining us to discuss the best and worst ways to pay down debt is wealth strategist Rebecca Walser. So, Rebecca, this is a good resolution category for 2018, but there are some traps when paying down debt. Now, you recommend people pay down their highest interest rate credit card first.
One of the best things to do, obviously, is to attack the highest interest rate credit cards first. A lot of people think that they should attack the highest balance first. That's a very common perception. Oh, I owe $20,000 on this card and only $5,000 on that one, so I'm not going to worry about the $5,000. I really got to get this $20,000 down. But if the $20,000 is, say, at a 4% interest rate and the $5,000 is at a 12 or 14% interest rate, it's really the $5,000 card that we want to eliminate first, because obviously more money is being charged as interest as a percentage of the balance than on the $20,000 card. So we always want to look at the highest rate cards first and attack those the most aggressively.
So take a look at all the paperwork that comes with your credit card and see what the APR is and see what the percentage is, and let that be the guide for you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And now you also suggest we avoid paying the minimum credit card payment.
Yes. The minimum credit card payment is designed, and they actually had to change the law around this. I don't know if you remember a few years back, they actually had to change the law to disclose on the actual statement, if people only made their minimum credit card payment monthly, how many years it would literally take them to actually pay off that balance. And of course, the credit card company is counting on that you pay the minimum, you have a little bit of credit available, you use that credit, you pay the minimum again, and it's a vicious cycle that you're never intended to get out of. So the minimum payment is not designed ever to really get you out of, you know, that debt. So the minimum payment will take years and years to actually come to fruition and pay off. We cannot go off of a minimum payment. We have to create a budget. We have to see how much discretionary funds can be moved over to getting rid of this debt as fast as possible, especially the high interest rate debt.
You know, one red flag that's come with the strong holiday season sales is the rate of spending has outpaced the rate of savings. And you say that cashing out savings to pay debt should be avoided.
You know, this is so true. I write about this in my book, and I know we're going to talk about it. But basically, we have a savings gap in this country. We are addicted to instant gratification and credit card usage and spending. And the spending over this holiday season just proves it. It's our spending outpaces our savings. And if you even look at most financial advisors, they're telling people, you know, we've got to save at least 10%. But when we run the models on 10%, I extrapolate that over someone's lifetime, we see that 10% is just very deficient when it comes to building a true secure financial retirement. So the truth is 10% is insufficient, and we aren't even saving that. We are spending everything we get. And this is what's created our retirement savings gap, which, as we know, is anywhere from $7 to $14 trillion.
And you say the same goes for our 401ks and draining our retirement account. That's another red flag.
Yeah, we don't want to drain the retirement account to pay off credit card debt, because first of all, the retirement account is probably not where it needs to be already. So draining it further to pay off, you know, current spending, you have to look at the dollar. And I encourage everyone to do this. Look at every dollar that you make a decision on spending as making a decision for two people. And those two people are really your current self and your future self. And every time you make a decision that your current self gets to spend that dollar, and that includes the retirement account, then you are making that decision at the detriment of your future self. And we can't do that over our entire lifetimes and then expect our future self to maintain the lifestyle we've had. It's not going to happen.
Well, those are some common traps to avoid when paying down debt. And there are some very positive ways and then smart ways to pay down debt as well. We'll get to that in just a moment. We're speaking with Rebecca Walser, who's author of Wealth Unbroken, about smart ways to pay down debt and how to avoid common mistakes. And you're listening to Your Money Matters from The Wall Street Journal. Welcome back, everybody. So, Rebecca, let's talk about some smart ways to pay down debt. You say something that sounds complex, but it is really something that people need to do, and that is plan out a budget.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's if you don't, if you've never done this exercise, you literally, I tell clients, list out the actual budget that you're actually spending right now. And if that includes a lot of money that's going to discretionary funds, like, you know, out to eat and to the movies and whatever it is that you like to do, playing golf, whatever it is you like to do, really list out what it is. And then let's see how much money we have left over to take care of these credit card debts and these kinds of consumer debts that we have. And if you see that what we only have is the minimum payment amounts, that is a no-go. That is a non-starter. We can say right there unequivocally that that budget has to be modified. We have to go into the budget and we have to cut somewhere. And hopefully there are places that we can cut, but we've got to cut somewhere so that we can free up some funds to actually go over to the credit card debt so we can pay it down more aggressively. As we've already talked about, the minimum payments are never designed to get you out of that debt. You will be in that debt until forever, until death, if you do the minimum payments. So we've got to set the budget. And then if it's not enough, it does not give us enough funds, we've got to go back and cut places where we can actually aggressively attack the debt.
So maybe a couple less souped up coffee frappuccinos during the month and make some coffee at home.
Absolutely. No offense to Starbucks, but yes, absolutely. We're going to have to make some homemade coffee. That's a great way to do it.
That's true. And, you know, Dunkin' Donuts and other places also have the expensive coffees, but it could be smart to,
yeah, of course,
to give it up for a couple of days out of the month. And then you also say, you know, we all get these credit card offers in the mail, and you say it's a good idea to take a look at it and see what the numbers are and see what the offers are and consider whether to transfer balances.
Yeah, this is a really common strategy that we hear a lot in regards to actually paying off debt aggressively. And I will answer the question really with two considerations, because there's really two different considerations. If it's an introductory offer that you are able to actually transfer the balance and pay it off during the introductory period, then it could be a good idea from an aggressively paying off debt perspective, which we want to do. So that could be a good idea. But first of all, we have to make sure that the budget is there during that introductory period to really cut the debt. The second consideration that we have to take into mind is, how does it affect my credit score? Because we know that simply by the act of opening a credit card, your credit score is affected, because all three bureaus basically look at that as them. They look at it and they read it and they build it into their algorithm as saying, this person does not have enough credit and they're asking for more. So sometimes people will say, well, I'll just close one of my cards so I'm not asking for more. But that too can also be a derogatory thing on your credit score, because if you close a card, let's say you have had a card that's been open for 10 years and that's your longest credit profile you have on your credit history, we don't want you to close the card that has 10 years of solid payment history that's really giving you, you know, a bump up in your score. Long payment history, solid payment history, those are two different factors that every bureau looks at and increases the score. So we don't want you to close that card just to open the introductory card, because both of those acts are actually derogatory on and reflected in the score in a negative way. So we have to be careful that how we're doing it is, you know, really going to hit our goals and not give us some unintended consequences.
So the credit companies really do pay attention to a consumer being able to establish a reputation of reliability and being able to pay off their credit cards on time, or at least within a reasonable framework.
Absolutely. You're the longer your credit history, and of course the better it is, but the longer it is, the longer time you've been established, the better your score will be reflective, as long as that the whole history is not bad. I mean, if we have a long bad history, that's not good either, right?
And that's very good advice to kick off 2018. We're joined by wealth strategist Rebecca Walser, joining us here on Your Money Matters. Rebecca, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.
Is Alexa part of your life? Then make Your Money Matters part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.